podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
And every time he comes back, he looks sharp in some games. Some games he looks sluggish and just drops a bollock and then gets injured again. And there's just only so many chances you can give him.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody, welcome to Clash of the Correspondents. My name's James and we're looking forward to a big clash on Monday Night Football in Game Week 2. We are joined by Bradley Parker at Parker underscore Bradley, our Wolves correspondent, otherwise known as our Portugal correspondent. How are you, Bradley?
All right, you?
And we're also joined by our Manchester City correspondent, Johnny Pringle at FPL Pringle. How are you, Johnny?
Yeah, good, thanks, James.
I'm going to bore you, Bradley, because we've already got cut off once and we'll have to go over this again. But we spoke a couple of weeks ago and you were feeling pretty negative with the rumours going around of Doherty leaving. Didn't seem to make much sense. You're feeling a lot better now, I'm guessing, following the signings and the performance Monday night.
Yeah, definitely. The biggest one for me was Nuno's contract. If he left, then a lot of the progress made for the club is gone in an instant. I'm not sure they'd recover from it if he left.
Why is he so important?
Oh, good. I don't know if I can explain it. Unless you're a Wolves fan, he's got this aura about him that you can feel. Like, when he speaks, you listen. And the way the players talk about him and carry themselves for him, I think speaks volumes. Especially what he's Traoré and Cody. Because Cody was absolutely useless before Nuno came in the door. Now he's an England international. I thought Cody was the first player at the door when Nuno turned up.
I mean, listen, you know I like Connor Cody. It doesn't take that much to be an England player these days unless your name's Jack
Especially
Grealish.
Especially
centre-half. The reason I say that is because I've had that feeling before. Like, you get that fear, like, oh, a manager's going to leave. How can someone else come in and do better? But as Johnny will tell you, like, you know, people come and go and the club moves on, right? And you find different solutions. Johnny knows Guardiola's not going to be there forever. But I know what you're saying. The commitment from him to the team probably gives the players a similar commitment. You spoke about, like, Jimenez a few times, keeps getting linked, doesn't he? And he's obviously really happy at the club. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think the media are obsessed with... I think it happens to Aston Villa a bit as well. Some of the lower teams, they'll call them, they don't like the thought of Raul's just happy at Wolves. Constant links away. Can't possibly be happy at Wolves. That's what they always make it out to be like.
I think he knows that the club gave him a commitment and gave him a chance in arguably the biggest league in the world, right, and wants to pay that back. So unless someone came in with silly money and silly wages, we've always said this, I don't see why he would leave. But then again, explain to me Doherty, because when we spoke for Correspondent Week, I was still, the deal wasn't done and I couldn't believe it was going to happen because I couldn't see why he'd leave you for us, basically. Why do you think the deal went through?
I wouldn't be surprised if Mendes and Jose probably had a little bit of contact about it. I mean, Doherty's not involved really with Mendes, but Mourinho certainly is. When Doherty moved, though, he said he wanted the move, which I thought was a weird thing to say. Very weird thing to say. And he says he's joining to further his career. And I was like, Nuno's made you the best you've ever been. It's a bit funny thing to say.
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, Bradley, he wasn't fucking great on Sunday.
No, he got absolutely roasted by Richarlison.
Well, I've already learned, and we talked about Traore a bit now, because I already learned with Doherty that his recovery is not great.
Yeah, and Bolle there you're to not protect him.
You're not particularly keen on Traore at right wing back, but he's got the cover there, hasn't he, with Bolle sort of behind him on the other side. But you don't think he'll stay there, is that fair?
No, Traore definitely won't stay there. I mean, Nuno's publicly said, we need a new right back, short term. We want the best winger high up the pitch as possible.
Right,
but I don't mind him when he's facing towards the opposite goal, though. He's better when he receives the ball that way rather than with his back to goal.
Yes, I completely agree on that. We'll come back to that on system because there was some stuff Monday night that I thought was interesting. Johnny, you've been kicking your heels and waiting. You ready to go for Monday night?
I am. Don't think City are.
What does that mean?
Oh, good.
They just... Mahrez and Laporte were tested positive for COVID, didn't they? They've only just... I don't think they're back in training yet. I've only seen one sort of bunch of photos up on City's website. Pep was away for a while. I think he's only just got back into training. It just seems, and I think a few fans have spotted this on Twitter, they seem to be leaving it quite late to get back.
That's concerning, mate, no?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously, I think if we line up and play how we can and we win on Monday, everything will probably feel fine and dandy. But like I said, at the moment, it's usually, obviously, it's not a normal situation, but in pre-season, you see loads of photos and loads of videos about training and exciting new signings. But there's just, maybe it's because there hasn't been just as much content on a website. Maybe it's just what us fans have been seeing. But I think it's with the transfer business as well. I think you'd have expected us to bring in another centre-back by now to play on Monday night, but that's looking unlikely by Monday night, sorry. So
do you think there's part
just
of...
the feeling just feels a little bit underprepared.
Is this because of Messi, do you think?
I don't know, because, I mean, obviously I came on the podcast and said I think if it was to happen, it would happen very quickly. Obviously, it ended sort of before it started. But no, it's been like 2 weeks since then. And there was always stories coming out alongside that saying that they were going to go for their other targets anyway. So I'd be very surprised if that sort of did detract from the other transfer business. And it certainly shouldn't affect, say, the players coming back to training, etc.
No, I mean, it's not a great way to start. To be fair, it doesn't sound like United have been overly well prepared either. You've obviously gone through similar things in terms of playing in Europe during the when everyone else was on a break, basically, is not beneficial to either of you. But particularly for yourselves, that's obviously not a clever game against Wolves to be walking into and be unprepared. You won't need me to remind you that obviously beat you twice last year. There was obviously certain circumstances with the second game at Molineux with the red card on that. But I just hearing you speak there, Johnny, would instantly want to put me off going for City assets if I wanted to this week for FPL.
I think it is just a wait and see. And I think maybe the same with United as well. Is you just got no idea. I mean, you've seen Wolves and Palace, to an extent, start the season really well in their first games. We just have no idea how City United are going to be. Obviously, we know how good they can be. Obviously, I'll try and keep it to City. But yeah, Wolves is obviously a particularly difficult game, but you've just got no idea how we're going to line up, who's going to start. I've got no idea how fit certain players are. I mean, no updates on Aguero or even Foden. So yeah, it's just, I think it is just ultimately a wait and see for this game week one.
So Edison it is then?
Ha! Yeah.
Again, we're back here again, are we?
You haven't even seen a picture of him in training, so I mean, I couldn't even say he's back. But yeah, I'm assuming he is.
Yeah, it does sound like ongoing problems. Am I right in saying Bernardo's out for a while? Is that confirmed?
I haven't heard that.
Because didn't he pick up an injury on international duty, no?
Yes, I think he did, but I wasn't sure how bad it was.
Which obviously picked up my interest in the idea of Mahrez. Then it was rumoured that obviously he got COVID. So we don't know if he's likely for game week two or not at the time of recording. We should probably say we're recording Wednesday night, but the lack of news is concerning. I think particularly for City, it feels really difficult to go into your assets this week, A, because of the lack of news, and B, the team that you're playing against.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very difficult fixture, even if you had everyone fit and we were fit and firing.
Is your plan currently, Johnny, then, are you looking at getting De Bruyne in for someone like Aubameyang or similar for game week three? Is that what the current thought process is? Because so many people seem to have that transfer planned in mind at the moment.
Yeah, I said that last time. I think KDB or Sterling. Obviously, we had the debate about KDB or Sterling last time, and I think probably will be likely just be KDB.
Any thoughts of Sterling? There's going to be a massive differential, isn't he? That ownership number in itself is really tempting.
His ownership is very low. And like you say, it is very tempting because, I mean, we talked about it last time. He is arguably the more sort of explosive of the two. If you were to sort of choose one of them that you're going to captain. So he scored twice at Wolves last year as well. Missed a penalty. So a bit of an eventful game for him.
Yeah, he got
missed it twice.
Should have been more.
Yeah, missed it twice. But yeah, obviously he's a great pick. We'll see how he goes on.
But you'd still prefer De Bruyne yourself?
at the moment without seeing any of them play. Yeah.
I agree. I think the other thing is, we discussed this before, Johnny, was actually the fixtures in themselves lead more towards KDB, because we think in these sort of fixtures he'll potentially play higher against the likes of Wolves, Leicester and Leeds than he would have if you had three easier fixtures on paper, actually. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's not an easy run for us.
And I'm going to ask you a question that's going to piss you off as well, mate. Any news on Aguero? We don't know anything, do we?
The only bit of news we've had was that I think an Argentine journalist who seems to be quite close to him saying that he's very likely to feature against Wolves, which is obviously quite ambiguous again, about whether he'd start or not. But, I mean, there was rumours when he initially got injured. It was a meniscus injury in his knee, which obviously can be quite precarious. Mm. And there was rumours about whether he'd be back for the Champions League. And then all of a sudden, so you'd think that, oh, well, if there's a chance of him being back for the Champions League, well, he's certainly going to be back for pre-season and be back for the start of the season, no problem. So to hear these reports that, well, he might or might not he be fit, you wonder whether it's been a worse injury than you initially think. But that's the only news.
Bradley, how do you feel hearing all this?
Happy.
Does that... I mean, it's dangerous to get in the mindset against Man City, particularly probably more than anyone, to think, oh, they're weakened or anything like that. But it must be a sense with yourselves thinking, well, we know we can beat these. Let's go again. Does that, just hearing that stuff from Johnny, does it just make you more confident for Monday?
Yeah, Nuno won't let it that deter him, though. He'll just prepare as if City in full strength, and that's it. We'll still probably concede possession because we've got no choice.
It's the way you go, mate. You're probably more suited to it than any other side in the league and is good at it. Are you expecting any changes from the Sheffield United victory?
That's a good question, that is. From the top of my head, when we played them at home last season, we went 3-4-3. And I think I'd personally probably start that way again, because they're there to be got at. If we pinch the ball, we can break really fast there with Podence. And I think Traore probably still going to be stuck at right back at the minute, which he did start in the away match against.
I mean, he's not quite right back, is it? Let's be honest.
No,
he's very much wing back with him, particularly. One of the things I noticed from the Sheffield United game was there seemed to be concentration towards counter attacking, particularly down the left, and it led to, when the ball got switched, it meant Traore wasn't having to beat three or four men when the ball went down that side. So I think Sheffield United naturally got drawn to think, oh, we've got to defend the right, because Podence and Neto were basically, quite strangely, almost running into similar areas, actually. Mm-hmm. And it meant when the ball got switched, which is kind of how the first goal came across, there was a little bit of space there. And then Donker was also running from deep towards that right-hand side to, I think, more than anything, support Traore to make sure that he had space on many occasions.
Yeah, I think he let Donker loose a bit. I think Moutinho was quite deep and just mopping up, rather than, because I think towards the end of last season, we might have saw Moutinho's legs go a bit slower than usual. The first season, he was quite snappy and all over the pitch, and we were all surprised with his age. But after the restart with Neves, sometimes in the two, he looked a bit more leggy and his form dropped off. So I'm wondering now if he's literally just going to sit right in front of the defence and just let Donker loose a bit. I don't know if that was tactical though against Sheffield United centre-half.
It might have been because the one thing with Sheffield United obviously is they overlap so brilliantly in the wide areas, and actually they don't really cut through you in central areas. So the manager's probably taken a view that he could leave Moutinho in that position, and it would probably be right, because even if they got beyond him, you still got to beat the back five, basically. Although it's not eye-catching for FPL, the eye-catching one for me was kind of what you'd said there about Neves not starting. So if you go with that similar system again on Monday, does Neves come back in as a little bit more of an insurance, protect the ball better?
I think so.
And would that mean then Donker missing out?
Yes, if they go 3-4-3. Or he could swap for Moutinho. It's a bit 50-50 now with options. We've also got Vitinha, but I don't think he'll start that sort of match yet.
No, I would agree with that. He looks very, very comfortable when he come on the ball. Actually.
He looks like the Iberian Jack Grealish. See how he looks?
Noted.
A bit...
I won't ask you how many players you've got in the Portugal squad at the moment, mate. I think you'll go 3-5-2, personally. I think Neves will come back in for one of Podence or Neto, actually. I just think, because it's City. And just protect from deep. And I think what we highlighted about Sheffield United with that Dendonka kind of running that almost inside right-hand channel, I'm not even sure that something we'll see again, actually. I don't know if it was just a specific target.
Yeah,
there's lots of rumours floating around sort of your local media and stuff that one of the ideas of this season is for you to be scoring more goals.
Yeah.
So I think we might see that in, let's say, less high-profile games than City. I think against City, I'm not sure why you'd move away from something tried and tested that worked so well last season. I mean, in the game at the Etihad, basically just left Jimenez and Traore up front, didn't you? And yeah. I can see you finishing the game that way this time. Am I right in saying Traore moved from right wing back to centre forward late in that game? Do you remember?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I think that'll probably be similar again. Do you think, with that in mind, can Traore still be an FPL asset? Because I think most people would look at it 6.5 and go, wing back, not for me. Might be classified as defender next year. We'll all buy him.
I think if they sign a right back, yeah. But if for some reason they don't get one, I wouldn't touch him.
Quite a lot of people were asking you about Burr, weren't they?
And yeah, I don't know you why. Tell us
why. What's your opinion on that?
Just every time I've seen him play, he's just not got the stature for the Premier League physically. I was surprised he come on. I was quite surprised he brought him on, to be honest.
Is he Danish?
Yeah, he's tidy on the ball. There's nothing wrong with him on the ball.
Why has he got Rasmussen on the back of his shirt?
Big long name, Oscar Burr Rasmussen. So just call him Burr.
Is that what it is? Okay. Johnny, this is really difficult, but we spoke a little bit on Correspondent Week about the idea of playing sort of Foden in more central areas with De Bruyne, perhaps with Rodri behind. Predicting the team Mondays, nowhere for you at the moment. I get that, it's really difficult. But looking ahead into further weeks, we are all at some point going to want to target City players. Do you see anything from sort of back to front? If you would start defensively, if I said, right, Johnny, you've got to buy a City defender this week, where would you go?
That's a bad defender. It'd be Laporte, because I know he's the most nailed on. I think from last time, I think there might be something a little bit more in Ake playing left back. There's still just absolutely nothing on the radar for us in terms of buying a left back. And he's played there a couple of times for Holland. I think he's probably the most likely to start a left back on Monday, actually. Because he's probably the most mobile of the three that we've got, including Mendy and Zinchenko.
And to play up against Traore, right? Important.
To play up against Traore, it's the main concern. I remember last time saying that I reckon it would just be back up to Laporte, but I could maybe see him playing a lot of games at left back. Obviously, he wouldn't touch Rodri and Gundogan. If Bernardo plays centre midfield, he can be good there. But again, you don't know what the game time he's going to get is. In the front three, I think it's just Sterling. I mean, it just always comes down to just KDB and Sterling, just because they're always just the two key players that just play every game.
Yeah, I get that. So do you think, I mean, the idea of Aki playing left back, I get it, specifically, particularly for Traore as well. It's a bit of a slap on Mendy, Cancelo and Zinchenko as well, though, no?
Well, I think if you obviously City fans have had this discussion over and over again. If you were to rule out Cancelo, because he's just not a left back, he just filled in there at the end of last season. Zinchenko had a brilliant 18-19 season. He actually nearly signed for Wolves at the start of that season.
Yeah, he was trying to sign.
Yeah, but he signed Johnny instead. In the 17-18 season, he was sort of, he had a few odd games at left back. And in the 18-19 season, had a really good season. But then just didn't look good. Obviously, he was good at the start of last season, but then just didn't really have a good season. And I think he got a little bit found out in that he's just not a left back. He was just filling in. And I think because the system was so good in 18-19, it carried him a little bit. And Mendy sort of just had the same old problems. It's just a real shame for Mendy, because he was a brilliant left back when we signed him. Really mobile, up and down, looked really sharp going forward. But obviously did his cruciate. Came back at the start of the 18-19 season, looked good again, injured again. And every time he comes back, he looks sharp in some games. Some games he looks sluggish and just drops a bollock and then gets injured again. And there's just only so many chances you can give him. I'd love for him to just be injury-free and mistake-free and just give him a 10-20 game run to see what he can do. But like you say, it is a bit of a slap in the face to him, but there's only so much you can do because I don't think anyone would buy him. Cost us 50 mil on however much wages. Who's going to buy him? So I think you sort of have to just keep him and try him.
I think you've just sorted out the intro for the audio of this podcast. Well done, mate.
Do you remember what Traore did to him last season for the winning goal? Was it the equaliser, was it?
Equaliser. It was arguably a foul, wasn't it? It was borderline.
Oh, he let him soft, though, didn't he?
Nah, I remember being pretty fuming at the time. It was total shove in the back, total shoulder in the back. But the thing that I was adamant that it wasn't given because it's Mendy, because he's got a bollock in him. Like I say, everyone just labelled it. Oh, what the fuck is Mendy doing? All the City fans around me. What the fuck is Mendy doing? It's like he's shoved him over in the back in the box. And I think it was the fact that it was Traore as well. Because Traore,
I think there's something in that actually.
Because Traore is such a physical player and Mendy's a bit of a donkey at times, everyone sort of just laughed it off a bit as if to say, like, oh, Traore's dead physical guy, he's bullied Mendy off the ball. But yeah.
It was Edison who got sent off, wasn't it?
Yeah. Jota chipped knocked the ball past
it was
him.
Between,
that's right.
It was between Christmas and New Year. It didn't help that I was absolutely levered anyway because obviously I had the day off work. And then having to go to that game, it was just a mental game. Probably the best game of last season to be at. You just sort of had to laugh it off at the end.
Johnny, if you get levered every time you take a day off work, my DMs are open, mate, by the way. Bradley, we asked you a really interesting question a couple of weeks ago about Jimenez versus Ings.
Mm-hmm.
And you were honest enough to say that you would start with Ings of the two. Do you still feel that way?
I don't know if Southampton has an off day the other day yet.
Don't worry, they're playing us Sunday. They'll fix that, mate.
But Raul was so sharp Monday. He looked refreshed.
He looked great.
His flicks and hold-up play and just his finish as well. Just top centre forward.
He looked, I thought, probably as fit as anybody over game week one, actually. He was dropping deep into like right-back areas late in the game and stuff. He
should have scored two, but he missed an open goal.
And it does help when you're a centre forward and you score really early in games. But he looked like he had an aura of presence about him. Like, I've got this, no problem at all. Who do you think, if he was to play as a two up front, which we think might be the way you go Monday night, who would play with him? Because there's a lot of guys at the moment who've taken the gamble on Podence, Jota. Who do you think would get favouritism there at the moment?
Purely as a striker.
Yeah. Jota. If it's a 3-5-2, Jota.
Just because Traore's got to play right back.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility that Jota starts actually Monday night and neither Neto or Podence do. That's
my
instinct as well.
He might need his... He scored a goal for Portugal and I think he'll start tomorrow and hopefully he scores. So I'll his confidence is back because if it is, and him and Raul have clicked, City have got a lot of problems. But their 1-2s, very... dangerous.
Yeah, but I was going to say, wasn't Jota the guy that got fouled when Edison got sent off last year?
Yeah, he's a pest. He will not. He just will not stop for 90 minutes.
I was going to say he runs in behind a lot. That's what troubles us.
Yeah, I think it's become a situation for Jota that actually in a two, he's the best partner for Jimenez, but in a three, it doesn't suit him. We had this at the start of not last season, but your first season up where. We all were kind of looking at him early doors and he ended up playing in a wide position that became quite withdrawn, particularly, obviously, you do spend a lot of time without the ball and then these big distances towards Jimenez. Then that began to change in certain games and you could see that his FPL returns instantly were there because he was in close proximity to Jimenez. I think it was good for Jimenez as well.
Yeah.
Now, that's evolved a little bit with a player like Traore who, I mean, Christ, he's faster than a bus, mate. or a truck.
I like when I say Ferraris when bus.
Nah,
I was going to say you could have picked a bus.
I don't know why I thought bus, but a bus can go fairly fast if it puts its foot down, I suppose. I don't know. I didn't know what to compare him to. A bus can go quite fast, I think. Traore is rapid, isn't he? There's no stopping him if he gets the yard. We all know that. I'm like you, Bradley. I don't see him playing right wing back too often. But I also think that there's elements of what you say is absolutely right in the fact that starting in that position, he can see the game the whole time.
Yeah.
So he's not back to goal. He's not having to spin on things. Because we saw a lot of instances in a restart, and we know he gets targeted. And the attitude quite a lot of the time from a lot of teams is just take him out, because it's the only way to stop him. But quite often, when he was having his really good runs, he's actually starting from a back-to-goal position, having to turn, go circular, which even in that little split setting is giving people half a chance to try and recover and get closer to him. And that's one of the benefits of playing the wing-back position. Plus, we know, unless it's Dendonka, which is why Monday night felt unusual to me, your midfielders aren't really going to run beyond.
No.
It's going to be fascinating to see if that's something that's targeted or we'll see it again. I suspect we won't Monday night. I think you'll go in a lot more solid, would be my instinct. The other one that people really want to know, Bradley, your thoughts on is Vinagre, who a lot of people obviously have in their squads. Is it just cut it off, or, and it's probably not going to be people's priorities now, but what's your feelings on him, and can he work his way back in?
I just forget about him, to be honest, man. It's just too dodgy ground. Markel played well as well. That's the problem. He fit into the system really quick. I was quite surprised, actually. The Lyon fans were saying he was clumsy on the ball, but Dane looked that way to me. He was quite tidy, I thought. Didn't give a lot away.
It'll obviously be a different challenge Monday night if, for example, Mahrez plays in that area. You know,
then I might quickly be tempted to play Vinagre, if I was the manager anyway, in that case.
Judging by what Johnny's going to say, I don't know how you're going to know who's going to play or who isn't going to play for City. And I think, like, for myself, that's why I'm not going anywhere near you, Johnny. I think it's really, in an odd way, you having Wolves this week has really helped clarify for a lot of people, just to go, right, I'll get the one game view in, then I can make a decision for Leicester, which on paper is a difficult fixture. But again, I just feel like it's one, it's obvious for KDB to potentially play a bit higher and cause some damage. My instinct right now is I'll captain KDB in game week 3.
Yeah, I can't think of any. I mean, maybe one of the United lads at Brighton.
Yeah.
Salah at home to Arsenal. But yeah, KDB against Leicester is just as good a captaincy option as any other.
Should we ever worry about the fixture when we captain KDB? Is there something in the theory of actually do it against better opposition than weaker?
Maybe, because sometimes against a weaker opposition, he just seems to play a little bit deeper. And yeah, I mean, we talked about it before, hasn't he? He plays a little bit deeper and get more sort of forwards in the box when teams are sitting deep in games where we're playing most like difficult fixtures. He'll play Rodri and Gundogan, and De Bruyne will be up in the number 10 behind the striker. So yeah, I certainly think there is something in that.
The flip of that is none of us captained him against Norwich in game week 38. We already discussed this one as well. Interesting, Johnny. And Bradley, did you predict City to win the title?
Yeah.
You were one of the 22 out of 26 that thinks Man City's going to win this title. That, the majority of them on that really, really surprised me and Suj. Confident, still high, I take it, Johnny? Is there any reason for that to have changed, i.e. the Messi deal hasn't happened, you haven't bought a centre-half?
No, I think we will end up getting a centre-half. Like I say, I think, obviously, at the moment, like I say, everything seems a little bit uncertain with the squad coming back maybe a little bit late. I mean, Guardiola's out of contract in 9 months. I think that needs to be sorted soon. Very much like Nuno at Wolves.
Same similar to
us. Yeah. And obviously the centre-back. But all it takes is a win against Wolves, Pep sign his new contract and say, us to sign Koulibaly, and the world's jolly and we're the best team in the world again. But I think the reason I was confident is I don't think neither City or Liverpool would be at the level last season. I don't think it's going to take 100 points again. Maybe 90. But I just go off the fact that City obviously had two seasons at a very high level from 2017 to 2019, where obviously they did 198 points. Liverpool have done 197 points in two seasons.
Yeah. It's mad.
It's as much as you like to think so, and Liverpool fans might find this, hopefully for our sake, we'll find it this season, that you just struggle to go for a third season in a row. Most teams struggle to go for two seasons in a row, but they haven't made any signings. They've so like I said, they've exerted so much over the last 2 years. It's not just the physical, it's the mentality. Now they've won everything. How much mental, how big is your mentality to go again for that third season? I think that's what we're sort of hoping for, because I don't think City would be able to get back up to 100 points, but I think we're certainly capable of getting back up to sort of the 90 point mark.
I agree. I think 90 to 93 is probably what will win it this year. I do think it will be lower. I definitely think there's something in that. I mean, what you did between the 18 to 19 seasons and what Liverpool did over the last two, you're right. The sustainability of that, it's not to say Liverpool can't do it again, but you saw firsthand last year how difficult it is to maintain them standards. Do you think, on reflection now, that there was a motivation issue last season, particularly with, say, obviously Company leaving, for example? Obviously, we know it had an impact.
Yeah, well, we discussed it, and in the pod I came on in August, didn't I? I think it just, the title just got away from us very quickly. Like I said, I think there was a motivation issue at first. Like I said, we've gone two seasons in a row, massive effort. Company had gone, didn't have a huge summer, just only brought Rodri in, Cancelo. And then, like I say, you draw it onto Tottenham very quickly. All of a sudden, you lose it onto Norwich, and you're 5 points behind. Like I said, there was a couple of stuff that went, there was a few things that went on with like Bernardo's tweet that sort of made his form plummet. Laporte gets injured. All of a sudden, you go to Anfield, VAR decision, 8 points behind. Liverpool just don't look like stopping. And I think, like I said, by then the title just seems like it's gone.
It's gone.
I think it will hopefully be a bit of a different story this year, and I don't, hopefully the gap won't get that big at any point, and we'll always feel like we'll be in it.
No, true. You obviously could go into the game Monday night 6 points behind. I know it doesn't particularly matter when you obviously got the two games in hand, but psychologically it then already puts the pressure on for Monday night instantly, doesn't it? Because you know, obviously, like you said, it got away so quickly last season. And I guess as well, the fact that Liverpool have got one of the hardest games of the season on paper on Sunday, a place where you obviously found it difficult during this restart period against Chelsea yourselves. Should they go there and win, that's kind of the marker, isn't it? That Liverpool saying, yeah, we're going again.
Well, that's the type of game that last season, I remember when they won 2-1, they didn't play particularly there. And I remember begging for Chelsea to get an equaliser in that second half, just because I remember looking at Chelsea's fixtures and it's a little bit similar this season. They've got a difficult run at the start, and if they're going to drop points, we sort of need them to drop points now. That's why I was gutted when obviously they got that penalty on Saturday night, because I was thinking this would be such a bonus if they were to just start off by dropping points. All of a sudden, you say that we could be 6 points behind, but if they'd have drawn that and then get beat by Chelsea, all of a sudden we're ahead by 2 points for a game in hand. It flips the other way.
Yeah, do you think Chelsea or United can sort of put in a real challenge to get close to the two of you this year?
Not United. Don't think we're doing much in the transfer market. Chelsea, maybe. It's difficult to say now. If they do click, obviously they didn't look amazing on against Brighton, but obviously they didn't have all of the players there. But all it takes is a click in, say, November or December. Do you remember that season? Obviously in 13-14 when we had a title race with Liverpool, no one really took them seriously until about December time when Suarez came back.
It's because they conceded about 55 goals, mate.
Yeah, Chelsea are similar, aren't they? You could see something like that, but I don't know. At the moment, it does just seem like us and Liverpool.
Okay, let's do predictions before we let you go. Bradley, prediction for Monday night?
One each.
Johnny?
Yeah, I think one each. Shall I put my balls on the line and do a team prediction?
Do a Mendy. Yeah, go on. Go on, yeah, predict the team. No one's going to hold you accountable because we already know you haven't got a fucking clue, mate.
Do I get a reward if I get 11?
All right. Bravo in goal. He's gone, isn't he?
Right, I've got Edison, Walker, Fernandinho and Laporte. Ake left back. Rodri, Gundogan, De Bruyne. Mahrez right. Sterling left and Jesus up front.
Interesting. I don't think you'll be far away from that. What I do know is I think I'd be surprised, and we never really know in his mind what his strongest team is, but I think Guardiola will pick what his strongest team is, bar fitness issues. I think that is the certainty. I don't think we're going to know what that is before deadline. Probably not going to know till Monday morning to have an idea of who's travelled, who hasn't travelled, that kind of thing, I don't think. You've worried me there, Johnny. I think if you don't turn up at 100%, I think you get beat, mate, because Bradley's team won't fuck about. But I think for yourself, Bradley, you'd be better off going back to that 3-5-2 and getting Neves back in the team for this particular fixture and then utilising Traore up front. But yeah, and what you're saying there, Johnny, I wouldn't be surprised actually if Wolves win Monday night. Before we let you go, Bradley, 8th, you said, when we had you on.
I know.
What do you think now? Come on.
6th or 5th. I think they can get that. Without
that
the
just,
European.
Is that just because you saw how shit my team was on Sunday?
Yeah.
Right, brilliant. Great. On that bombshell, thank you, Bradley. You can follow at Parker_Bradley. Thank you, Johnny. You can follow at FPL Pringle. Thanks, guys. Clash of Correspondents next week will be on Monday. The reason for that is it's our 500th podcast next Thursday, so we'll be doing that then. But on Monday, we'll have Sam, FPL Seagull from Brighton, and Gary is my cat playing on Manchester United. So we'll be looking at Brighton and Manchester United. That will be a different day next Monday, next week. I'll be on YouTube tomorrow with Ask James, updates on the press conferences. Get your questions in on YouTube. I'll be going live around about 2 o'clock. Other than that, be nice to each other, everybody. Cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.